before I get started this morning, I just want to make sure that I give a special thanks to David and Bobby for their willingness to assist in the last two Sunday services. And I want to tell you, both of you have made these very special Sundays for me. You don't know it, but you're actually in training to take my place someday. And so you better be taking notes. Right, Bobby? Yeah, life is good. Life is good, so get up here some Sunday. Betty Ann, thank you again for your superb reading of the Scriptures and your testimony to what you believe in when you read. And, of course, always Janice, and this morning for Kathy and the entire choir for sharing their special musical talents. The 23rd Psalm, I know that, as Betty Ann said, that you probably learned that as a youngster. You've heard it commonly used in death and funeral services. But to me, the Psalms language and the imagery that's in there is more fitting for this time of the year, the Sundays after Easter, when the church, you and I, we're just trying to discern and learn how to live in light of Christ's resurrection. For me, Psalms 23 is about how a person lives in their relationship to God, than how one faces death or finds security beyond the grave. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd," but will he really find us to be worthy sheep? In our Old Testament scripture this morning, the writer of Psalms 23 is King David. And David was a shepherd himself. And this morning, I just want you to kind of visualize David walking through the hills, just carrying his staff, tending those sheep, and just sitting on a rock, thinking and looking out and writing this beautiful psalm. David begins his psalm with, "The Lord is my shepherd." So you see, he immediately puts himself as a sheep in the care of Jesus Christ. You might be saying to yourself, "Wait a minute, Warren, Jesus wasn't even born yet. How can David be putting himself in the care of Christ?" I feel that in my readings that David wrote all of his psalms for the church of Jesus Christ that was to come. And this becomes fact in the readings of the New Testament scriptures when Jesus tells us that he is the good shepherd. Continuing with, "I shall not want," David indicates that as sheep in Christ's care, he was confident that he would never lack anything. David repeats this very same sentiment in Psalms 34, verses 9 through 10, when he says, "Fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him lack for nothing. The loins may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no thing." These scriptures clearly indicate David's understanding in regards to putting God and God's way first in his life. He goes on to write, "He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters." Here David is clearly illustrating to us the blessed abundance that we will have if we lead a God-filled life. In Psalms 23:3, he begins, "He restores my soul." David understood that he was a sinner, but also that Christ had redeemed him and would continue to restore him and would continue to restore him upon repentance. You see, the soul is the deepest part of us. It's where our spirit and our innermost being lies. And since God is the only one who made us, only he can restore us, because only he knows what we truly need to restore our own souls. David goes on even further in Psalms 51 with his prayer of cleansing and pardon. As we return to the sheep and the shepherd analogy, David continues, "He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." He indicates that it's the Lord's example that we should follow, and that it's to God's glory that when we obey. Yet it is only through the power of the Holy Spirit and Jesus in us that we are even to do so. You see, from David's own experience, he knew that the shepherd had to lead his flock through dangerous terrain. And he writes, "Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff. They comfort me." Again, David had complete confidence in God. In his way, you see, he had no fear, not even in the shadow of death. The rod and staff were there to correct the path of the sheep, the same way that God has to often correct our own paths. Brothers and sisters, in the same way that this comforted David, so should you be comforted this morning. We are reminded by Paul in 2 Timothy that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but he has given us the power of love and a sound mind. Even among enemies, David had complete confidence in God. He said, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runneth over." David understood the blessings and protections provided by the Lord. And David knew that as long as he followed Christ, that surely goodness and mercy should follow him all of the days of his life. He looked forward to dwelling in the house of the Lord his whole life long. And you can too when you make Jesus the shepherd of your life. Today from the Gospel of John, Betty Ann read the words to you that we have the words of Jesus explaining his role to the Pharisees. Once again, they questioned Jesus, who he is. And he answered them, "I am the good shepherd." That's who Jesus is. But he goes on to describe you and me. We are the sheep. The shepherd knows his sheep. You have nothing to hide from the shepherd, and you cannot hide from the shepherd. And we have a worthy shepherd, but does the shepherd have worthy sheep? Frequently the Bible compares us to sheep. Now that sounds nice, but surely you realize that it is not necessarily a compliment, because sheep are among the dumbest and the dirtiest animals in the world. So when the Bible says we are all like sheep have gone astray, it's not saying that's good. It's saying that's bad, because we're just about on a level with sheep. When Jesus looked out on the people with compassion, the gospel writer says that he saw them as sheep without a shepherd. That's not a compliment either, but a concern, because sheep are so helpless. Philip Keller was a sheep rancher, and in his book, A Shepherd Looks at the 23rd Psalm, he says that sheep require more attention than any other livestock. They just can't take care of themselves. Did you know that unless their shepherd makes them move on, sheep will actually ruin a pasture? They'll eat every blade of grass until a fertile pasture is nothing but barren soil. Sheep are nearsighted and very stubborn, but easily frightened. They have little means of defense. They're timid, feeble creatures. The only defense is to run from the predator. Sheep have no homing instincts. Even a dog, a horse, a cat, a bird can find its way home, but a lost sheep is just a lost sheep. So I think when Jesus compared us to sheep, he described us pretty good, don't you think? Like sheep, people are stubborn. Some of us are nearsighted. We can't see things beyond our nose. We are feeble creatures, and sometimes our only defense is to try to run away from our problems, thus leaving us with two kinds of people, those who are lost and those of us who are saved. So I think Jesus describes us pretty good. We are like sheep, and like sheep, we are helpless without a shepherd. Two men were called on in a large college classroom studying the Old Testament, and they were asked to recite the 23rd Psalm. One man was an orator, and he was already trained in drama and speech. He'd taken many classes. He repeated the psalm in a powerful way, and then when he finished, the audience stood up, cheered, and asked for an encore. When the other man repeated the same words of the 23rd Psalm, but when he finished, no cheers, no sounds came from the class. Instead, people sat in a mood of deep devotion and prayer. When the first man stood to his feet and said, "I have a confession to make. The difference in what you have just heard from my friend and what you have heard from me is this. I know the psalm, but my friend knows the shepherd." Like a shepherd, Jesus is concerned about our well-being. He wants to take care of his sheep, for the shepherd loves his sheep. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd." He didn't call himself King Jesus. Our humble Jesus called himself a shepherd, a servant, a caretaker, a watchman, a provider, and the greatest gift of all for us, he calls us his people, the sheep of his pasture. In our New Testament scripture from John chapter 10, two caretakers are mentioned, the good shepherd and the hired hand. The hired hand had no connection with the sheep, no relationship with the sheep. He thought of himself first and the sheep last. Because he didn't own the sheep, they weren't his sheep. If a sheep was attacked by a wolf, the scripture says that the hired hand runs away and lets the wolf snatch the sheep and scatter the sheep. Then there is the good shepherd. The good shepherd is the owner of the sheep. He has a special relationship with them. Sheep look a lot alike to the untrained eye, but the shepherd knows them personally. In fact, he knows them by name. If you look close, you'll notice that even sheep have his own markings and peculiar traits. One may walk a little sideways. One may walk a little with bowed feet. One may miss a patch of wool on his back. And one may have a small mark here and there. These are not just sheep. They're Al. They're Bob. They're Carol. They're Diane. They're Ken. They're Melvin. They're Nevin. And they're all over. They are all of us, you see. Each are called by their name. But the only way a shepherd can get to know his sheep is to live with his sheep. He has to come close to them. That's what Jesus has done for you and I. He came from heaven to earth to live with his sheep. And Jesus, the good shepherd, knows our particular traits and our markings. And he knows us by name. A man in Australia was arrested and charged with stealing a sheep. But the man protested that he did not steal that sheep. It belonged to him all along. When the case went to court, the judge didn't know how to decide the matter. So he asked that the sheep be brought to the courtroom. Then he ordered the plaintiff to step outside in the hallway and call the animal. The sheep made no response. Then the judge asked the defendant to step into the hallway and call the sheep. When the accused man began to call the sheep by name, the sheep ran toward the doors. It was obvious that he recognized the voice of his master. The judge said he knows his sheep and the sheep know him. Case dismissed. Our hymn this morning says, "Savior, like a shepherd, lead us," and that's what shepherds do. They lead their flock, and the sheep of the flock will follow because they know the shepherd's voice. The hymn continues to say, "Much we need thy tender care, and thy pastures feed us. For our use thy fold prepare." Early in John chapter 10, Jesus describes a sheep pen. It only had one door. And when the sheep returned from grazing the pasture, they would all enter through that door. The shepherd would stand in the doorway and inspect the sheep with tender care. One by one, as they came through the doorway. If a sheep had been scratched or wounded by thorns, the shepherd would anoint it with oil. If they were thirsty, he would give them water to drink. And after all had been counted and brought into the pen, then the shepherd would do a loving thing. He would lay down across the doorway to keep an intruder from coming in to protect his sheep. The shepherd thus became the door. Do you see the parallel? Jesus is the good shepherd who protects us and sustains the life of his sheep. That's you and that's me. He is the gate for the sheep. All must enter through him. Our hymn goes on to say, blessed Jesus, thou hast brought us thine we are. The difference between the good shepherd and the hired hand is that the good shepherd has laid down his life for his sheep. That's what Jesus Christ has done for you on Calvary with his death and resurrection. He laid down his life for his sheep. He has saved us from the wolves of sin and death. If the story ended here, we'd have a problem. Because if a flock of sheep lose their shepherd because he was willing to lay down his life to protect them, they are now shepherdless. And even if no wolves come, they will soon wander off and get lost. And the death of the shepherd would have been in vain. But the story doesn't end here with the shepherd's death and the sheep scattered. In John 10, verses 18, Jesus speaks about his death. He says, "No man takes my life from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father." Remember in your Old Testament readings of the law, the sheep died for the shepherd. But now the good shepherd, Jesus Christ, dies for us. Now, my brothers and sisters, that's a distinct difference between some religions and Christianity. Some other religions believe that you must die for your God. That's why it's okay to fly a plane through the World Trade Center. That's why it's okay to tie a bomb around your waist and walk into a shopping mall. But Christians believe that their God died for them. Not only did He die for them, He was raised from the dead. And He lives right here in this church this morning. He lives within your hearts. Brothers and sisters, we have a good shepherd who has been scarred for His sheep. One who lives victorious, and He even knows us by name. We know that Jesus is a worthy shepherd, but are we, you and me, worthy to be His sheep? Oftentimes when I read Scripture, I find myself asking questions about the Scripture that the Scriptures don't really ask. Our Scripture this morning tells us how worthy Jesus is. It tells us that indeed He is the good shepherd. But the question this morning remains, are we the good sheep? In order for a shepherd to know his sheep, they have to spend a lot of time together. They have to live with each other. They have to talk to each other. And they have to walk with each other. Friends, we have a good shepherd. It's not the shepherd we need to worry about. God has already provided that for us. What we have to worry about are you and I, the sheep. Are we, as Jesus' sheep, following the shepherd? Do we know His voice? Only the good shepherd in you know for sure. No one else can be the judge. You know the old saying? They say you can lead a horse to the water, but you can't make him drink it. But by the words that I have given you this morning, I sure want to make you thirsty. Brothers and sisters, listen to the word of God. Jesus is the good shepherd who was willing to lay down His life for us. He loved us enough to suffer on that cross for us to save us from eternal death, to prepare us to meet His Father. He is the gatekeeper, and the only way to the Father is through the Son. He will keep us safe in His sheepfold if we're just smart enough sheep to follow Him. I started this morning by saying I wanted you to look in the deepest, darkest corners of your heart, because the shepherd knows your sheep, His sheep. He knows what's truly in your hearts this morning. Maybe some of you don't like what you see. Maybe you're ashamed of what's really in your heart. Maybe you realize that you don't know the shepherd's voice. But for all of you that are listening, no matter what's on your heart this morning, softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. The good shepherd is calling His sheep this morning. Do you know the shepherd's voice? He's calling you by name this morning. He wants you to come home. We have a worthy shepherd. On this fourth Sunday of Easter, my prayer for you is that the good shepherd, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, will find you to be worthy sheep. In His name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of invitation is number 381, Savior, Like a Good Shepherd, Lead Us.